Side 5. Continuing with 4.1.1.1, serial versus parallel. The Braille and Speak is a serial device. What's important here is that you determine that the device to which you wish to link the Braille and Speak is also serial. The manual that came with the device should tell you, and the dealer can give you this information even before you purchase the device. If it is not, you'll need to get a serial-to-parallel converter cable before you can do anything else. Since the Braille and Speak is a serial device, and most other devices today are too, you usually don't have a problem with this issue. So we'll assume that you're linking the Braille and Speak to another serial device. 4.1.1.2, gender. Another thing to determine about cables is the sex of the connector and the sex of the port to which you're linking it. Examine each end of the Braille and Speak cable. You have a connector that is small and square at one end, and a connector that is larger and flatter on the other end. Notice that the small square connector, which is the one that plugs into the Braille and Speak, has a single dot at the top and two dots on the bottom. This is to guide you as to how to plug the cable into the Braille and Speak. Also notice the tiny holes in the connector. This is a female connector. Examine the port for this cable. It is on the left side of the Braille and Speak as it faces you, furthest away from you and toward the back. The tiny pins sticking out inside the port indicate that this is a male port. In fact, both the ports on the Braille and Speak are male ports. You can plug the Braille and Speak connector into this port easily, since it is female and the port is male. Now check out the other end of the cable that came with your Braille and Speak. It may be male or female. Depending on its gender and that of the port to which you're connecting it, you may have to get a gender changer. You plug the opposite sex end of the gender changer to the Braille and Speak cable, then plug the other end of the gender changer into the port on the device. Usually, you can obtain serial gender changers from your local computer store. Just be certain what kind of gender changer you need before you buy one. Be specific about the sex of your connector and the port so that your salesperson knows exactly what to sell to you. 4.1.1.3, number of pins. Another issue is the number of pin locations on the connector and the number that the port can accept. This number must match exactly, or once again, you'll need an adapter. The Braille and Speak connector for other devices is a 25-pin connector. And many ports today are also 25-pin ports. So you may not have a problem. But if the port is serial and even the right gender, and you have only a 9-pin cable, you'll need an adapter. Here again, it's not crucial that you understand the technical details, but you do need to know what kind of connector you have and what kind of port you're trying to link with so that your salesperson can sell you the right adapter. 4.1.1.4, null modem cable requirements. To connect the Braille and Speak to a modem, to another Braille and Speak, and to some computers, you need a special cable called a null modem cable or adapter. Some Apple computers, for example, require one, although an IBM PC compatible does not. The important pieces of information to note here are the genders and the number of pins each connector and port needs in order to match up precisely. When you purchase a 640, an interface kit containing gender changers, a null modem adapter, and even a mini tester to help with technical problems comes with the unit. You can purchase this kit from Blazy if you have a classic, or you can acquire the pieces you need from your local computer store. Now that we've established the cable requirements, let's look at what you need to do to prepare the Braille and Speak for stepping out into the world of other devices. 4.1.2, telecommunications settings. Assuming that you've cabled everything correctly, you still need to make sure that your Braille and Speak telecommunications settings match those on the other device. Oftentimes, trouble arises from simply having mismatched speeds or duplex settings or whatever. In this section, we look at how to determine the status of these settings and how to change them. Both devices you are linking together must be talking in the same language and be polite enough to be listening to each other without interrupting as they communicate. It's also crucial that they communicate at the same rate of speed so that one isn't overwhelmed by the dizzying rate or turned off by the sedate pace of the other. Before you start hooking things up, check the manual of the other device for the status of telecommunication settings preset from the factory on that device, referred to as the default settings. Chances are that if you need to change any, it will be easier to do so from the Braille and Speak side of the link than from the other side. To see the status of telecommunication settings in the Braille and Speak, you look them up in the status menu. From there, you can change them or simply exit the status menu with either an Z cord or an E cord. On the other hand, if you just want to change a setting but don't need to see its present status, you can change the setting from the parameters menu. We'll show you both as we go through the telecommunications settings one at a time. 4.1.2.1 baud rate. The speed at which characters is transmitted to and from a device is called the baud rate. Narrator's note. Baud is spelled B-A-U-D. End of narrator's note. This is preset to 9600 baud, or 960 characters per second in the Braille and Speak. To see the present value of this setting, get into the status menu with an ST sign cord, dots 3-4, and enter a B. The Braille and Speak tells you the current setting, in this case 9600 baud. You can write one or two digits of the setting you wish instead, using dropped numbers as always. The possible settings are 75, only for the classic, 150, 300, 600, 1200, 2400, 4800, 9600, 19, 200, and 38, 400. This last setting only in the 640. Where the first digit is not specific enough to identify the desired rate, you may need to write the second digit as well. For example, if you need to set the Braille and Speak to 150 baud, you must write 15, since 19200 is another possible baud rate, and the Braille and Speak can't guess which of the two you want. However, if you need to set the Braille and Speak to 2400 baud, you can simply write a 2, and the Braille and Speak understands. Remember to exit the status menu with an E chord to return to your previous work area. It will say exit. If you just want to change the baud rate, get to the parameters menu by pressing a P chord from wherever you're working. The Braille and Speak says enter parameter. Write a B, and at the enter baud rate prompt, simply write the first or first and second digits of your choice. The Braille and Speak doesn't repeat the choice you've entered. It just says OK. However, if you write an invalid setting, it says invalid input and leaves you back where you were last working. You'll need to start all over again with a P chord, B, to issue a valid setting. 4.1.2.2 Parity. Parity works to keep your transmission error-free. All you need to know is that it can be set to even, odd, or none. The default is none. Get into the status menu with an ST sign cord and write a P. The Braille and Speak says, no parity. To change it, write an E for even or an O for odd. Exit the status menu with an E chord. To change parity from the parameters menu, press a P chord. At the enter parameter prompt, write a P. The Braille and Speak says, enter parity, none, even, odd. When you write the first letter of a choice, the Braille and Speak simply confirms OK and leaves you back in your previous work area. 4.1.2.3, duplex. This setting deserves special notice because it can affect what you hear during a transmission as well as what exactly is being transmitted. There are three possible choices: half duplex, full duplex, and none. In the following discussion, we assume that your Braille and Speak is set to transmit data. In other words, its serial port is active, ready to send and receive data. When you set duplex to half, the default value, everything you write, your responses to prompts, for example, is stored in your currently open file as well as sent out the serial port to another device. If you accidentally fail to press the space bar when pressing a chord, a character, the non-corded keys, is appended to the end of the text in your currently open file. When you set duplex to full, everything you write is sent out the port and nothing is stored in your currently open file. Therefore, full duplex is generally more desirable. If you have your Braille and Speak connected to a computer, you'll usually want to set the Braille and Speak to full duplex mode. When you set duplex to none, what you write is stored in your currently open file, but it is not transmitted to the other device. This is most useful when transmitting a file from the Braille and Speak directly to a printer. Otherwise, each time you send a carriage return, or whenever the printer receives all it can handle, it might print before you're ready. Enter the status menu and write a D to hear the current setting of duplex. Change it by writing an F or an N. Then exit the status menu with the usual E chord. Alternatively, enter the parameters menu and write a D. The Braille and Speak says, enter duplex, half, full, or none. Enter a choice by writing its first letter, and the Braille and Speak responds, OK, leaving you back in your currently open file. 4.1.2.4, data bits. The next setting to consider is the data length, or data bits, setting. The possible options are 7 and 8, with 8 being the most commonly used setting. To see the present status of data bits, enter the status menu with an ST sign chord and write a .456 character. The Braille and Speak should say 8 data bits. You can change it, if necessary, by writing a drop to 7. That is your only other option in this case. The only time you need to worry about this setting at all is when the device at the other end requires a setting of 7 instead of 8 data bits. Remember to exit the status menu with an E chord. To change the data bit setting from the parameters menu, press a P chord, and at the enter parameter prompt, write a .456 character. The Braille and Speak says, enter data bits. It assumes that you know your choices. If you write an invalid entry, the Braille and Speak says, invalid input, and kicks you back into the file where you were working. To set a valid data bit setting, you must start the process over again. 4.1.2.5, stop bits. This telecommunications setting has only two choices, 1 and 2. Generally, devices require only one stop bit. To see which way the stop bits parameter is presently set, enter the status menu with an ST sign chord and write an S. The Braille and Speak says 1 stop bit. Change it to 2 if necessary, by writing a dropped 2. Exit the status menu with an E chord to return to the file in which you were working. Or, if you just want to change the stop bits, press a P chord to enter the parameters menu. At the prompt, write an S, and the Braille and Speak says, "Enter stop bits." As always, an invalid entry kicks you back into your currently open file. To restart the process, you need to re-enter the parameters menu. 4.1.2.6, handshaking. Handshaking refers to a kind of traffic manager, telling one device to stop sending while the other deals with information it has received. For example, if the Braille and Speak keeps sending to a printer which is not able to process the information coming into it, you could lose text. So handshaking keeps the flow of information on track. The three possible choices are none, software handshaking, and hardware handshaking. What's important here is to find out how the device you're communicating with wants to be set for this parameter, and then to set the Braille and Speak to match it. Enter the status menu with an ST sign chord and write an H. The Braille and Speak may say any one of the three choices, something like software handshake. To change it to one of the other two, simply write the first letter of a choice, for example, an N for none, or an H for hardware handshake. Exit the status menu with an E chord. You may also set handshaking from the parameters menu. At the enter parameter prompt, write an H. The Braille and Speak says, enter hardware, software, or none. Write the first letter of an option, and the Braille and Speak responds, OK, leaving you back in your currently open file. When transmitting from a PC to the Braille and Speak, we recommend that you do not use the none handshake setting. You will lose data if you do. Next, we'll look at a few parameters that affect how your data appears when transmitted and how your Braille and Speak is affected by transmission of data. While you don't have to match these parameters both on the Braille and Speak end and the external devices end of the link, you should understand what these settings can do for you and how they can create potential snags if you set them incorrectly. 4.1.2.7, the interactive mode. Recall from Chapter 2 that in order to have the Braille and Speak echo what you write, the interactive mode must be on. The easiest way to enable or disable it is with a G chord. When you enable it, the Braille and Speak says, interactive, OK. And when you disable it, the Braille and Speak says, off, OK. To see the current status of interactive mode, enter the status menu and write a G. The Braille and Speak tells you its status. Change it with a Y for on and an N for off, and exit the status menu with an E chord. What does all this have to do with communications, you might ask? When interactive mode is on, text entering the Braille and Speak through its serial port as well as its keyboard is spoken. This can be especially vital when connected to a modem and a bulletin board, for example. If you want to listen to everything as it is coming in, you can. However, this slows down the whole transmission process. Even with speech set to maximum speed, the Braille and Speak's voice lags behind the transmission. On the other hand, having interactive mode on means that you'll know when transmission has stopped or when you are being prompted by the other device. 4.1.2.8, rejecting ornamentation. This is the parameter that controls what kinds of characters are accepted as part of a transmission. Computer networks can generate cute graphic characters, like smiley faces and Greek symbols, and even characters that draw boxes around text. You can lock out such characters from ever intruding into your file. Most likely all you want is the content in your Braille and speak, not the fancy squiggles sighted readers find so aesthetically pleasing. When you set the reject ornamentation parameter on, the Braille and speak effectively screens out strings of three or more spaces, stars, or any other characters that produce ornamentation in the text or affect the layout of the text in some way. To check the status of ornamentation parameter, enter the status menu and write an O. You change the setting on or off with a Y or an M. Most of the time, you'll want to keep it off, unless you're hooked up to a device that is constantly sending you extra stars and the like. You can also change this setting by pressing a P chord to enter the parameters menu. Write an O, and the Braille and Speak prompts reject ornamentation characters. Enter Y or N. Respond according to your need at the time, and you hear OK, finding yourself back in your currently open file. Now that you have an elementary understanding of telecommunication settings and how to match them to the device you are linking with your Braille and Speak, you are ready to skip to the sections of this chapter that particularly interest you. Section 4.2, the portable disk drive. Note, we spend no time here explaining standard computer terms, formatting a disk, operating system, text file, etc. We assume that you are familiar with these basic computer terms or have access to training on them. Remember, our focus is on the Braille and Speak's interaction with other devices. Turn to the appropriate manuals for detailed explanations of terms that apply specifically to those devices. The portable disk drive is the Braille and Speak's passport to the world of computers. It lets you interact with standard 3.5-inch disks formatted for an MS-DOS IBM PC compatible computer. You can load text documents, ASCII text files, into the Braille and Speak, read them, edit them, even transfer them back onto disks. You can load programs specifically written for the Braille and Speak, such as the scientific calculator and spell checker, adding even more power to your unit. You can ask for the listing of the contents of a disk, a directory, format a disk, prepare it to receive information, delete files on the disk, create new ones, etc. 4.2.1, the physical design of the disk drive. The disk drive can read and format either 720K or 1.44 MB disks. When you command the drive to format a disk, it determines whether the disk is high or low density and formats accordingly. The disk drive connects to the Braille and Speak's second port, the one closest to you on the left side of the unit. A cable comes with the drive when you purchase it. Position the drive with the slot where the disk goes facing toward you. Rest the unit on a flat, stable surface like a desk. Now look at the back of the device. Starting from the left, the first thing you find is a rocker switch, which powers the disk drive. It comes in the off position from the factory, rocked to the right. To turn on the disk drive, you rock it to the left. But you can't do that yet. To the right of the power switch is the jack for your AC adapter that also comes with the disk drive at the time of purchase. The drive can be operated from its internal battery, much like the Braille and Speak, and it should be fully charged when you purchased it. Nevertheless, you might want to plug your AC adapter into the unit the first time you run the drive. The battery in the disk drive is identical to the battery in the Braille and Speak. In fact, the two battery chargers are interchangeable. The disk drive needs only 8 hours to obtain a full recharge. Furthest to the right, along the back of the disk drive, is the female serial port that connects the disk drive to the Braille and Speak. The cable must be connected to this port in order for the disk drive to power up. If you try to turn on the unit without first inserting the cable into this port, nothing will happen, and you may think that you have a defective device on your hands. To plug the cable into the disk drive, align the end of the cable that has the screws on either side to the port and press until you feel the cable mate with the port. You may have to turn the cable 180 degrees around before the cable and the port merge. Do not force the cable. When it is properly aligned, it will fit snugly. Turn the screws clockwise to secure the connection. Now connect the small end of the cable to the port closest to you on the left side of the Braille and Speak as you hold it facing toward you. On this end of the cable, notice that the little square connector has a single dot on one side and two on the other. Hold the connector with the single dot pointing up as you insert it into the port on the Braille and Speak, and you'll find that when you gently press, the connector mates easily with the port. Next, let's turn on the disk drive. You will hear three distinct tones from the unit to indicate that it is active. Insert the disk that came with the disk drive into the slot in front of the machine with the Braille side up and the Braille characters facing away from you. The disk should click into place and a small square button to the right of the slot should pop out toward you. When you're ready to extract this disk from the drive, simply push the button in and the disk will pop out. Mostly, you will be storing files from the Braille and Speak onto disk and retrieving files from the disk onto the Braille and Speak. We'll go through examples of each type of transmission. 4.2.2, retrieving a file from disk. The first thing you need to do is to create space in the Braille and Speak to receive the incoming file. But how do you know what size to make it? And what if you make it too small? Won't you lose some of the text in the file? Or couldn't you end up with a huge empty space wasted in your Braille and Speak? If you know the size of a file in bytes, and remember that a Braille and Speak page holds up to 4,096 characters, you can then guesstimate how many Braille and Speak pages are required for a file. But if you guess wrong, you're still okay, as you'll see. Let's go through a simple, concrete example of retrieving an existing file from the disk that came with the drive. Create a file called disk, 6 Braille and Speak pages long, with Braille translation turned off. Once in this file, press an S chord. The Braille and Speak says, storage. Now write an L. And at the prompt, load, enter file name, write the word disk. Press an E chord to start the transmission. You'll hear some clicks from the disk drive and some hissing noises from the Braille and Speak. Within a very short time, the Braille and Speak will say, file is full. And if interactive mode is on, it will start speaking the text of the file. Shut up the Braille and Speak by writing a DOTS 456 chord to go to the end of the file. Check out how much room you have left with an R chord. You should hear something like, room left is 11. You can read this file in the usual way. Go ahead and do that now, moving to the top of the file and either listening to the complete text or skipping around in the file. Do you have the complete file saved on the Braille and Speak? Well, one way to find out is to read the current line at the end of the file with a C chord. In the current example, you'll hear something like, by R. Doesn't sound like the end of a document, does it? Actually, the disk drive emits a single tone when it completes sending a file to the Braille and Speak, and the Braille and Speak itself says, OK. Since this did not happen, we can assume that there is more text in the file that has not yet been transmitted since the Braille and Speak ran out of room. The disk drive is smart enough to know when the Braille and Speak can't take any more data and stop sending text. Let's see how to continue getting more of the file from the disk drive. The first thing to do is to make this file bigger, say by one Braille and Speak page. When your file is larger by a full Braille and Speak page, go to its end and press an S chord. At the storage prompt from the Braille and Speak, write an R for resume. This time, the disk drive should emit a single tone, indicating that it has completed sending this file, and the Braille and Speak should say OK to acknowledge that it has received a complete file. Proceed as before, reading this file in the usual way. Incidentally, you've probably noticed a couple of tones from the disk drive every few minutes. Don't worry. It's the drive's way of reminding you that it is still turned on, just as the Braille and Speak has a power reminder feature that says hello when you have left it inactive for a few minutes. Now, how about if we want to save a file onto disk from the Braille and Speak? 4.2.3, storing a file from the Braille and Speak to a disk drive. There are several ways to save a file from the Braille and Speak to a disk. Three common methods include saving a file merely for backup purposes, saving a file as a print file, ready for a printer or a word processor to handle, saving a file as a Braille file, ready to send to a Braille embosser. The simplest way to save a file from the Braille and Speak to the disk, mostly used for backup purposes, is to press an S chord from within the file, and at the storage prompt, write an S for save. Braille and Speak says, save, enter file name. Name the file using MS-DOS file naming conventions and press an E chord. The disk drive spins and the Braille and Speak hisses and clicks. Shortly, a single tone from the disk drive followed by an OK from the Braille and Speak tell you that your transfer was successful. You can check whether Braille translation is turned on or off by checking its status in the status menu, but the storage utility we've just discussed facilitates how you store a file. You don't have to think about which way your Braille translator is currently set. From within the file you want to save, press an S chord. At the storage prompt, write a T to save the file translated from grade 2 Braille into normal English text, a text file, or a B to save the file as a grade 2 Braille file to be printed on a Braille embosser or sent to a Braille display device. For clarity, you might answer the enter file name prompt with filename.txt for print files and with filename.brl for Braille files. The Braille and Speak goes through its usual clicks and hisses, and the disk drive spins. Your transfer is complete when you hear OK from the Braille and Speak and a single tone from the drive. A note of caution. We have not talked about the issue of physical format of the page. This refers to the page length, line width, margins, etc. Before you save a text file as a print or Braille file, which you intend to send to a printer or Braille embosser, you must set up the appropriate page format for the file. Otherwise, your file is translated into print or grade 2 Braille, but its page format may be a mess. Turn to section 4.3.3 to read about format parameters in detail. If you go through our example, you'll see a step-by-step explanation. Whether you're transmitting an application or a text file to or from the disk drive, or perhaps a group of files, here's another transmission method that is more sophisticated than the S chord command. *4.2.4, transmitting text files or applications. Note, This feature is unique to the 640, and your disk drive may require updating. To perform the type of transmission described below, contact Lazy Engineering for more details. First, let's take a look at how this optional transmission process works, regardless of the type of file being transferred. In the next section, we'll deal specifically with transferring programs or applications to the Braille and Speak. Enter the Files menu and press a T chord for transfer a file. The Braille and Speak sees that the disk drive is connected and prompts you with disk drive, enter S to send or R to receive. If you press an S chord or an R chord, you will hear the names of the files as they are being transmitted. If you simply write an S or an R, you do not hear their names as they are being transmitted. Double asterisk, 4.2.4.1, sending files to the disk drive. Note, this feature is unique to the 640. When you write an S to send files to the drive, the Braille and Speak prompts you with the name of the file to which you are currently pointing in your file list, and tells you whether that file is marked. Marking the Braille and Speak files you want to send prepares them for transmission. You can navigate through your file list to hear whether each file is marked or unmarked. If you don't want the file you are currently pointing to sent to the disk drive, you can unmark it with an N. Then you can move through your file list, unmarking files with an N, forward with a .4 chord, or backward with a .1 chord, to the beginning or end of the file list with an L chord and .456 chord, as usual. When you find a file you do want to send, write a Y to mark it for sending. Likewise, if you had marked a file previously that you don't want to send at this time, you can unmark it with an N. A quicker way to mark and unmark files as you move through your file list is this. When you find a file you want to mark, press a Y chord to mark the file. This automatically moves you to the next file in your file list. Finally, if you do want to send all the files in your Braille and Speak file list, write an M to mark them all at once. You can write a U to unmark your entire file list all at once and select individual files to send. Another way to use the marking feature is with wildcard characters. See Appendix A. Press an M chord or U chord to mark and unmark a specific group of files that have similar names. For example, say that you have several files with names like names.brl and books.brl. Press an M chord followed by the characters *.brl, that's an asterisk, period, then the letters brl. All files with names that end in .brl are marked for sending to the drive. Similarly, a U chord followed by an asterisk .brl unmarks that group of files, so they are not sent. By the way, pressing the spacebar toggles between marking and unmarking the file to which you are currently pointing also. When you've marked all the files you want to send to the drive, press an E chord to let the Braille and Speak start sending files. You hear the drive spin and nothing much from the Braille and Speak until it finishes sending. Then it prompts you with OK, enter file command. Remember, you started this process from within the Files menu, and the Braille and Speak knows that. So it leaves you there when it completes the transmission. Double asterisk, 4.2.4.2. Receiving files from the disk drive. Note, this feature is unique to the 640. When you write an R to receive files from the drive, the Braille and Speak prompts, enter file name, and waits for you to write the name of the known file on the disk in the drive, or a group of similarly named files. Press an E chord to let the Braille and Speak start receiving. You may use wildcard characters for similarly named groups of files, as illustrated above. A note of caution. If you have a file in the BrailleInspeak with the same name as the one you are receiving from your drive, the BrailleInspeak asks you whether you want to delete the one in the BrailleInspeak. If you answer yes, it will be deleted and replaced by the incoming file. If you answer no, the transfer is aborted altogether. After you press the E cord to signal the BrailleInspeak to begin receiving files from the drive, you should hear the drive spin and eventually the BrailleInspeak say, OK. Files from the drive are appended to the end of your previous BrailleInspeak file list. Next, let's see how to receive a file that is a program or application, not a text file. 4.2.4.3, adding an application to the BrailleInspeak. Up to now, we've been talking exclusively about sending and receiving text files, that is, files with text you can read in them. You may know that the other type of file a computer uses is a program, a file that instructs the computer on how to do something, like run a word processor or a spreadsheet application. For the most part, you can't run applications in the BrailleInspeak other than those we've discussed, the calculator, the calendar, and so on. But there are a few exceptions, as we'll see. For example, the spell checker. You can send to the BrailleInspeak an application or binary file using the transfer command just described. We'll use the scientific calculator as our example. Assuming that you have the disk that came with your drive still in the drive, from the files menu, press a T cord, as before. This time, answer with an R. The BrailleInspeak says, enter file name, respond, calc.bnf. The BrailleInspeak recognizes files with .bnf extensions as programs. Press an E cord. The disk drive spins, and eventually the BrailleInspeak says, OK. Obviously, if the file is not on the disk, you hear an error message. As you'll see in a minute, you can check what files are on a disk. For now, we'll assume that things worked fine and you have the file in your BrailleInspeak. Go to the end of your files list to see the name of the last file. You should hear file number X, calc.bns, external program, where X is the number of the file in your file list. The BrailleInspeak knows that this file is not a text file. Open the file, but when you try to read its contents, you'll hear gibberish. That's because this file is intended to be run like you run your calendar and not read like you read your address file. To run this special calculator program, you'll need to read the documentation about it that is also on the disk that came in your drive. You might want to transfer that file, a text file called calc.doc, into your BrailleInspeak so that you can have instructions on how to run this scientific calculator program. When you're ready to run the program, simply press an O cord to get into the Options menu, then write an X. The BrailleInspeak says, enter program to execute. When you write calc followed by an E cord, the BrailleInspeak loads the program and is ready for you to work within it. The BrailleInspeak recognizes files with the .bns extension as external programs and automatically write protects them. Files with extensions .bin, .bns, .com, .dic, .exe, and .sys are also write protected automatically. You can delete such files, but you cannot write in them. If you're not ready to explore the scientific calculator, delete it at this time, or save it for when you're more comfortable with your unit's overall features. 4.2.5, reading the directory from a disk. We will go over the directory command since you must know what's on a disk to use it effectively, but we will not spend time describing all of the commands that you can use with disk drive, such as format a disk or kill a file on disk. These commands assume an understanding of MS-DOS. They all begin with the S chord and are followed by the first letter of the command. For example, S chord followed by K is the command for kill a file on disk. A list of disk drive functions is in the Braille and Speak help file and in Appendix B. From anywhere within a file on the Braille and Speak, you can issue the command for reading a disk directory. Press an S chord followed by the D. The Braille and Speak says, directory, enter file name. If you're looking for a specific file on disk whose name you know, or a specific group of files whose names all end with, say, BNS, you may write that file name or a file name with wildcard characters at this prompt. Then press an E chord. However, if you just want a full list of files on this disk, press an E chord at the prompt without specifying a file name. Momentarily, the Braille and Speak will have received the directory, and if interactive mode is on, it will start saying, volume label is, and begin listing the files. Is this list being transmitted into your currently open file? No. Luckily, the clipboard, that scratch pad area that holds things for you in the Braille and Speak, is receiving the directory list. You can read through it from the clipboard file as you read any other text. As you read the directory of the disk that came with your drive, notice a special file, Spellchecker. If you decide to load it into your Braille and Speak, you'll have much more power than ever before. We look at the spell checker in detail next. Double asterisk 4.2.6, the spell checker. The spell checker application provided on the disk that came with your drive, called spell.dic, takes up 86 Braille and Speak pages. Therefore, this section is for 640 users who can afford that much space as a dictionary. On the other hand, think of the advantage of having a dictionary always at your fingertips. The spell checker is not a true dictionary as you might think. Rather, it is a program that checks your files for spelling errors and provides you with the thesaurus of sorts, a set of optional words for the misspelled words it finds. It also allows you to create a secondary personal dictionary with words that are spelled correctly but are not included in the spell checker. Let's step through the process of loading the spell checker into the Braille and Speak. First, check that you have enough room in your Braille and Speak. From the Files menu, write an F for free space. If you hear that you have more than 86 Braille and Speak pages free, you can load the spell checker. Now press a T chord from within the Files menu. The Braille and Speak says, disk drive, enter S to send or R to receive. We're receiving a file into the Braille and Speak, so write an R. The prompt is, enter file name. Write spell.dic and press an E chord. Now just sit back and wait. You'll hear the disk drive spin, the Braille and Speak click and hiss, and after a few minutes, a single tone from the disk drive and an OK prompt from the Braille and Speak. Should you hear anything else, like storage device missing, check your connections and make sure that the drive is turned on and has sufficient charge to be active. You won't be able to read the spell.dic file like a text file. It's written in machine code, remember, because it is a program. Let's see how to run it. To enter the spell check menu, from within your currently open file, press an O chord to get to the options menu. Now write a CH sign, .16. The Braille and Speak prompts you with, spell check what? You have choices about what you want to look up. Write a W for the current word, where your cursor is resting, or a Z for your entire document starting from your current cursor location. If you want to spell check the entire document, make sure your cursor is at the top of the file. If you decide to discontinue spell checking the document, you can abort the process with the usual Z chord. The document will be spell checked to the point where you aborted the process. When a word is not found, you've either spelled it incorrectly, it doesn't match a word in the spell checker, or it may not be a word found in the standard dictionary, like a proper name. In such a case, the spell checker has options for you. If the Braille and Speak says not found and spells out the word in question, it then presents you with a set of options. 4.2.6.1, adding a word. Choose option A for adding a word to a custom dictionary. By the way, your custom dictionary is placed in a separate file called personal.dic. The Braille and Speak says OK and keep searching the file for other misspellings. 4.2.6.2, bypassing the word for the rest of the document. Suppose you have XYZ in a file. This is the way you want to spell this word. You don't want to add it to a personalized dictionary, and you don't want to have the spell checker continue to warn you every time it finds it. Choose option B from the spell checker menu, and the word is bypassed for the remainder of the spell check process. 4.2.6.3, reading a word in context. What if you're not sure whether a word is correct, but you would be if you could hear surrounding text? This might be true of an abbreviation or an acronym. Choose option C to hear the word spoken as part of the current line of text in your file. 4.2.6.4, correcting a word. If you realize that the word is spelled wrong, choose option E. The Braille and Speak prompts you to enter correct word. When you've written it, press an E chord and the Braille and Speak says OK, confirming that it has replaced the word for you in the file. Then it continues to spell check the document. 4.2.6.5, repeat the word. Let's say that you're not sure what spelling the Braille and Speak gave you for the word in question. Choose option R to have the word spoken and spelled again. Press a dot 3/6 chord to have the word spelled out phonetically. 4.2.6.6, getting help. If you get stuck and can't recall the options available to you in the spell checker, choose option H to hear the options spoken again. 4.2.6.7, overlooking a word. If you decide that the word that the spell checker thinks is wrong is really okay, but you do want this word checked throughout the rest of the document, choose option O. 4.2.6.8, suggested replacement words. If you think you might have chosen a better word, or you want to hear possible spellings for the word, the spell checker provides you with its best guesses of what it thinks you meant to spell. Choose option S. The spell checker lists several possibilities. Move back a choice with a .1 chord and forward a choice with a .4 chord, to the top of the suggestion list with an L chord, and to the end of it with a .456 chord. Writing a C reads you the current choice. E chord replaces the incorrect word with the current choice. To leave this submenu without choosing a replacement word, simply abort it with a Z chord. A note of caution. While the spell checker can check through a grade 2 Braille file, when it replaces a word in such a file, it does so in computer Braille. In other words, if the replacement word is, say, word, you will find that it is spelled out, not contracted in your Braille file. While this does not affect the reading of the text, it may affect your ability to search for that word later. You could look for the contracted version of the word for a long time and never find it. The spell checker does take up a considerable amount of Braille and Speak space. But if you write a great deal with the Braille and Speak, or have no other word processor at your disposal, it can be a lifesaver to be able to produce perfectly spelled documents. And speaking of printers and other computers, we turn to them next. Section 4.3, printers, modems, and computers. Let's remind you at this time that when you get your Braille and Speak from the factory, it is preset for 9600 baud, 8 data bits, 1 stop bit, no parity, half duplex, and software handshaking. If you're unfamiliar with these terms and don't know what your other device wants to see for these settings, we strongly recommend that you stop here and review section 4.1.2 before continuing. It might save you countless hours the first time you try to hook up the Braille and Speak to another device. And while we're about it, if you have not looked at the section on cables, section 4.1.1, we suggest that you take a minute to skim over that section as well. Wrong cables account for a considerable amount of technical support questions and unnecessary frustration. Now let's talk about a couple of settings on the Braille and Speak that we deliberately left out of section 4.1.2. 4.3.1, serial port active. To conserve power, the serial port on the Braille and Speak is normally turned off. Before you can communicate with an external device through this port, you must activate it. Note that the longer the serial port is active, the greater the drain on the Braille and Speak's battery. Don't think anything is wrong with the battery if only after 7 hours of use you start getting battery low warning messages. If you've made heavy use of the port, the battery drains quickly. There is no warning to you as you're writing in a file, say, whether the serial port is active. Your only warning is that when you first turn on the Braille and Speak, if the serial port is active, the startup message says, serial port active, Braille and Speak ready, and so on. So it's important to turn off the serial port immediately upon completing communications with another device to save battery power. Of course, there is a way to check whether the port is active. Enter the status menu with an ST sign code and write an F. The Braille and Speak says, serial port active, off. To turn it on, write a Y. To turn it off later, write an N. Another way to change the status of the serial port is through the parameters menu. Press a T chord. At the enter parameter prompt, write a dots 26 chord. The Braille and Speak says, serial port active, enter YRN. Whatever your choice, the Braille and Speak may only squeak in response, although most of the time you'll hear the confirming prompt, OK. This setting is hard to change on purpose to avoid accidental activation of the serial port. 4.3.2, appending line feeds. Back in Chapter 2, we explained the difference between a carriage return and a line feed, and why it is that you don't really need to have line feeds present in your files on the Braille and Speak. Let's revisit this briefly to see how it applies to our present discussion on transmitting text. A carriage return, in effect, moves the cursor to the left margin of a line. In the Braille and Speak, it doesn't affect your reading because you are not physically moving up and down a piece of paper to read. So the carriage return serves as a marker more than anything else. A line feed, on the other hand, moves the cursor to the next line on the page. Once again, in a Braille and Speak file, having line feeds is meaningless because you're not physically moving vertically along a piece of paper. However, clearly, this changes when you print the contents of a Braille and Speak file. Now you need to have both carriage returns and line feeds present in the file. Otherwise, a printer will simply print the first line of text, then return the carriage to the left margin and print the next line and the next, without ever moving down the page. And you can guess what a mess you'll have, a jumble of letters all on the same line. Actually, some printers refuse to cooperate if they don't see pairs of carriage returns and line feeds and don't print at all. Luckily, there's a provision built into the Braille and Speak to deal with this. Enter the status menu with an SC sign cord. Write an A. The Braille and Speak says something like, append line feed when transmitting off. Turn this parameter on with a Y and off with an N. Unless you're transmitting, you want it off. Next, let's see how to set up the page format parameters so that your printouts will look just right. 4.3.3, physical page format considerations. When sending text directly to a printer, Braille embosser, or to a computer, you want your text to look right in that environment. In other words, if the text is going to a printer, you probably want a page length to be 66 lines and the margins to be 5 spaces from the left and right edges of the paper, etc. If the text is going to a Braille embosser, on the other hand, no doubt you'll want something like a page length of 25 lines and a line width of 40 characters and grade 2 Braille. These format issues can be controlled from your Braille and Speak simply by setting certain parameters. You don't have to do anything fancy as you're writing your file. Let's take these formatting parameters one at a time. 4.3.3.1, double spacing. If you want to print a double-spaced document, press an ST sign cord to enter the status menu. Write an AR sign, dots 345, to get to the double space status, usually turned off. Turn it on by writing a Y and off when you're through transmitting the file by writing an N. Exit the status menu with an E chord. 4.3.3.2, page length, line width, and margins. You must set the margins, the width of the lines, and the page length for each file you want to transmit. Consider whether you're sending the text to a printer or to a Braille embosser. Let's look at each of these settings separately. Each is set from the status menu. You can cycle through the settings by pressing dot 1 chords and dot 4 chords to move forward and back through them. The default parameters are all set to 0. Get into the status menu and write an L for line length. The Braille and Speak says something like line length 0. We'll assume that the current file is going to be printed rather than brailled. So let's change the line length to 65, a commonly used print line width. Write 65 using dropped numbers as always and press an E chord to enter your change. You should now hear line length 65. End of side 5.